This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Sheriff Kevin Coppinger, Essex County. And Sheriff, good to be talking with you again, and Happy New Year.
Same to you, Bill. Thank you for coming in again. I appreciate your attention.
Well, Sheriff, let's begin with some new business, if you will, some new grants that you've received and have sought or whatever, and here at the Essex County Corrections Facility.
Sure. If you recall, last time we spoke, several months ago, we were talking about a reentry program, which we really got up and running late April, early May of last year, and we've done a lot with it. One of the really good things about it is we did obtain a number of grants that are really helping us overall with our reentry goal of sending the inmates back into their communities where they came from with resources and with some skills so they don't come back and see us. Obviously, we want to reduce recidivism. That's part of it. So one of the grants we got was $1.5 million over the next 3 years. It's called the Essex Tech Training Program. It's really using technology. And we got this from the U.S. Department of Labor, Employment, and Training Administration. And what it does is we can send our inmates to classroom, you know, instruction. And they do get a certification at the end of that instruction in areas such as fiber optics, copper wiring, telecommunication, and residential audio and video skills. So this is something, if they get this certification, they have a better chance of landing a job once they leave. And with all the technology advances today in society, there's a big market for these type of employees. A second grant that we recently got was called the Perkins Grant. And this was from the Mass Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. We refer this to as hardscaping grants. This is something where we've actually partnered with the North Shore Agricultural and Technical, Essex North Shore Agricultural and Technical High School, right here at the bottom of the hill, the old Essex Aggie that people will remember it by. We're going to teach the inmates now masonry skills, maybe build a walk, some landscaping design, maybe a wall or some type of a fountain, stuff like this, with instructors from the high school will come up and teach the inmates this. So again, at the end of their classroom instructions, they'll be able to go out and hopefully get a job in the landscaping and design industry. And the third one we have is another $1.5 million grant. Again, it's for 3 years. And this is from the Department of Health and Human Services, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Service Administration. It's a mouthful, but we call it SAMHSA for short. But this is money that we can put towards the opioid epidemic, treating the inmates who have opioid issues as well as mental health issues. And if you remember when we spoke before, a lot of the inmates have both maladies, so it's something we're really trying to combine. But, and I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit later, but that's something we really need to really watch and try to help control, because we can reduce the opiate dependence and get these folks back on a good note, so when we return to the communities again, we don't want them to come back. We want them to stay in their communities as productive members of society. Yeah.
I would imagine the. By the way, the educational piece for the trades, whatever they may be, and you mentioned a number of them. I think obviously they're going to be. That's a powerful tool, and I'm sure that's something that, you know, in time could be expanded upon and increased.
That's so true, and keep in mind we have a lot of other, you know, industries we teach here, like barbershop. We have the print shop now. We do a lot of vocational training for the high school equivalencies, as well as we do that classroom work from Merrimack College, so inmates can get at least a certificate in a sociology class. So it's all for the better good. It's all for, again, trying to help the inmates.
Now, you've also gone through with the facilities in Essex County accreditation. So tell me about the accreditation. I know in the past we've talked about audits, but I think a lot of those were financial internal audits that you actually requested when you came on board here. But tell us about the accreditation piece and the results of that.
Yes, great topic. Every 3 years, we get reaccredited by the American Correctional Association. Now, this is really what you consider in the correction business to be the gold standard nationwide. Now, the ACA, as it's commonly referred to, sets the protocols, policies, procedures, and they come in and they do a very thorough inspection of all our facilities on a three-year cycle. Now, we've been doing this. We were first accredited back in 2000, so we had this for 18 years. We just finished it up at the end of 2018, and I'm very glad to say that we've had the highest score we've ever had over those 18 years that we've been accredited. Now, this year, they focused here on the Middleton facility, which is our largest facility. And we, out of the mandated requirements or protocols, we scored 100% on it. And on the optional protocols, we scored 98.7. So overall, we did very, very well. And the Women in Transition facility, which is our facility up in Salisbury, that really helps with low-risk women Mostly with substance abuse issues and some mental health up there, but we got 100% up there. So we're very proud of those scores. I attribute, you know, the hard work and all the efforts put in by our staff, both the vendors and our sworn staff here, just to get it up there where it should be. But that's a great score for us, and we're very proud of it.
There's a lot of other things that you've been in the news for regarding medical-assisted treatments. I want to talk about that in a moment. But just a kind of a general question. Folks have been hearing nationally now, but also statewide, in the past year or year and a half, about the criminal justice reform bills and so on. So with those passed here in Massachusetts, what does that mean for your population here in Middleton?
Well, it means a lot. And first and foremost, there's new restrictions that we have to abide by, new protocols, particularly with restrictive housing. Now, restrictive housing, it's had a number of name changes over the years, but most people can remember solitary confinement. It's not so much of a problem on a county level as maybe it is on a state level, and people are going to be serving many longer terms than they are here. Keep in mind, the average sentence in a county facility like ours is only 9 months. But now, before we put anybody into restrictive housing, you know, there's certain details we have to go through. It has to be approved by a superintendent. It has to be reviewed by a group of individuals here, like a board. And there's certain time frames that we can do it. So that's something new here. Another part of the criminal justice bill that we have to deal with is the mental health population. Again, we've talked about that before. Roughly maybe half of our population has some type of mental health illness. So we've already started that last year. We've trained all our sworn correctional staff in mental health first aid so they can hopefully see signs of mental illness and you know, make sure we alert our medical providers so they can get the folks, you know, the inmates, the proper treatment that they need. And moving forward is, you know, like we talked about medically assisted treatment. That's coming too. Now, part of the criminal justice reform bill was a pilot program was developed by the legislature and signed by the governor earlier this year, where they took five original counties, which was Middlesex, Hampden, Hampshire, Norfolk, and Franklin counties, and they wanted to look at full-blown medically assisted treatment. It was commonly referred to as MAT, M-A-T. Right now, there's no correctional facility in the state of Massachusetts and very few across the country that administered methadone to an inmate. Now, methadone is still a narcotic, and when you bring it into a correctional facility, it raises a number of concerns. But this is new ground for correction, so that's why the pilot program was put together. Originally, those five counties. And be honest with you, we joined kind of an unofficial bystander ourselves in Suffolk County. We are, by the way, the number one and number two largest correctional county facilities in Massachusetts. But we wanted to make sure we were aware of it and what's going on so we could stay ahead of it. So we've been working on this since late spring, early summer. But what it's going to do is this is going to be a game changer for how corrections is administered here. But the theory here is they want to bring in methadone and buprenorphine, more commonly referred to as Suboxone. One of the parts of buprenorphine is Suboxone, and give those to inmates upon arrival if they're coming here with a confirmed prescription from a medical provider that they're on a dose. Now, we can get into a lot of details about this bill, so I'm not quite sure where you want to go over it. We can get into that in a minute. But just to go back to the thing with the criminal justice reform bill, there is a lot of stuff. We are working on most of it. I wanted to touch base a little bit on that mental health. We have to create a stabilization unit, so really try to house as many of the mental health clients that we have here as safely as possible and in the best surroundings for them. Because sometimes putting someone with mental illness in just a cell alone or with one other person is not the place for it. But we have to balance their needs as well as the safety needs of them as well as others to make sure we do this safely for all 1,500 and so inmates that we have in the county.
Well, the mental health piece is huge. And I know we talked now years ago probably when you were a chief of police in Lynn about the role of the regular patrolman on mental health issues and how – you know, how key that is to have that kind of awareness. And so, and now we ask, you know, that, you know, people will say, well, maybe we're not doing enough in society, you know, outside of facilities on mental health. And that's probably a given, you know, there's no doubt about that, I suppose. But you're right about the mental health, the addiction issues, they go hand in hand often. So now let me get to this case here. So the ACLU, this is sort of related and unrelated as well, sued. There's a particular person that, you know, needs to have, you know, what is it, methadone administered to him in a facility. You went to court, fought it, but lost, I guess, narrowly. So tell us about that and where all this stands.
Well, where it all stands is that this is yes, we lost it. That's one place where it stands. You look at it that way, but this is still new ground, and this is an evolving new culture change to corrections. Just to summarize the name of the individual is Jeffrey Pesci. Mr. Pesci is facing a charge of operating after suspension of a motor vehicle. After a conviction of an operating under the influence of alcohol between Lynn District Court and Ipswich District Court. He's facing a 60-day minimum mandatory sentence out of Ipswich District. Now, right now, he is scheduled to come up here next Monday, January 14th, I believe it is. He was originally supposed to be here back on December 14th of last year, but last minute there was a continuance in the court. Jeffrey's case is very unique, and I don't want to go into great detail, but I'm going to try and summarize it. Jeffrey had he does have a substance abuse problem. He's tried detoxing and tried a Vivitrol process, which did not work for him. He tried Suboxone, which did not work for him. I know he's tried those at least one of those two things either multiple times with no luck. I believe he overdosed a couple of times, but his big thing is he finally did get on methadone a couple of years ago, and that's been successful for him. So the ACLU sued on that behalf. It's technically a violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act, because if you have a substance abuse, you are a protected class, so you're due the ADA protections. Now, this case has national significance. The ACLU took three cases across the United States, one in the state of Maine, one in the state of Washington, out west, and then, of course, here in Essex County in my lap. All three are related. There was a lot of legalese, a lot of, consulting lawyers, both on the national level as well as the local level. One of the reasons we fought it was because we have the legislature had spoken. They had created this pilot program we talked about a few minutes ago to slowly bring this in and do it safely. I can actually speak for all the sheriffs. None of us want to say no to this, but because it's so new and because of the issues that the logistical and the operational issues it brings with it when you start bringing these type of programs into the jail, it's a game changer. We have to make some major changes here. To do it safely, not just for the Mr. Pesci's of the world, but the rest of the inmates too. Now, one of the things we have to remember is the issue of contraband being smuggled into the jail. You and I talked before, Bill. That drives me crazy. From a coming from a police background, when you get here and you understand that drugs do get smuggled into jails, not just here in Essex County. This is a national thing, and we've done a lot, to try to interdict it and stop it from coming in. And we've done a pretty good job, but it's not foolproof. They still get it in. And it's like Suboxone in particular, it's got a big value on the black market inside. So to bring this stuff in here, we want to make sure we do it very safely, because we don't want anybody getting a drug that they should not be getting. And both methadone and Suboxone are still a narcotic drug. But going back to the case, Jeffrey Pesci is methadone. Now, methadone is a liquid drink that he would take once a day. We're not licensed to dispense methadone here as a correctional facility. The license comes from the Drug Enforcement Administration, better known as DEA, and they frown upon giving licenses to correctional institutions. We are working on that with some assistance from the Department of Health and Human Services at the State House. But Mr. Pesci, when he arrives next week, we're going to have to take him out every single day to a methadone clinic so he can get his medication and then bring him back. He's only one person. He's only going to be here for 60 days, so that's not really too tough. But if you project out some numbers, which we're trying to do at looking at some of the other correctional facilities across the country, and again, they're very, very few, we're looking at a possible, 300, 400 people a day we may be giving either methadone or Suboxone to. And now I can't be transporting them out on that number. And again, Mr. Pesci's a very low-level, non-serious offense, but we have sex offenders, we have murderers, we have armed robberies, we have gang-involved inmates here. This could be a huge safety thing. So that's why I was so much in favor of the pilot program. And now, by the way, we have officially joined the pilot program to get this done and get this done right. We will accommodate Mr. Pesci. We did not appeal the case. The judge did narrowed her decision just to Jeffrey Pesci, to his circumstances. But we've actually looked folks that have that come in here with those type of prescriptions. They're also on other illicit drugs continuously, like heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamines, barbiturates, marijuana. So when they come in, it's a nightmare because it's a potpourri of some legal drugs, some illegal drugs, and then we're supposed to figure out how we're supposed to do that. And we rely on our healthcare provider, which, just to further complicate my issue, it's nothing really legal, but we just happened to put our healthcare contract out to bid, and we just changed healthcare providers a month ago. So we have a brand new company coming in, brand new to us. They've been in the business for a number of years, but they really came to the table in helping us to figure this out, the correct way to do it. But there's a lot of work to be done here. We'll get it done, but it's going to take time, effort, and of course it's going to take money when you go through the whole process.
I think there's an old phrase, old expression, this isn't your mother's, house or father's, whatever it is. This prison business has totally changed now, you know. So let me ask you this. Is there somewhere in the country that they are, you know, like, let's say, months ahead of where the rest of the country is on this issue and are now doing what you're talking about having to do and implement eventually as far as administering these kinds of prescription medications?
There are a few. The state of Rhode Island recently did it, but it's only, I believe they've been doing it, or they've been phasing it in since 2016. But don't hold me to that. But it's about ballpark. Now we've been working with the United States Attorney's Office, who actually called to assist us with this, and they recommended the city of Philadelphia. They have their own correctional institutions there. We did a conference call with them the other day. They just started this about 3 or 4 months ago, so they're new into this thing. Rikers Island, I know, in New York City has been doing at least, I think they're doing all three forms of medically assisted treatment for a number of years, but their inmate population is in the tens of thousands down there. But we actually have a group going down there in a couple of weeks for a tour and to talk to them to see how it's doing. But if I could just make one illustration, what worries me is, as I said before, ballpark, let's just round it up to say 330, 350 inmates on a daily basis. When we look at those institutions that I just mentioned that we've talked to, there is what we call a medication line. So if you're in line for, say, your Suboxone, now your Suboxone comes in a pill form. It will be crushed, and then you take it, and then a correctional, and then you have to sit in a chair, and the inmate will be sitting on their hands for 15 minutes while they are visually observed by a correctional officer to make sure they don't try to smuggle it or cheek it, as we say, in their mouth. Now, Philadelphia is talking to us the other day. They said, well, what sometimes the inmates will do, they might take a cotton ball and just secure it in the back of their mouth. So they'll take that some of that crushed medication and get it caught up in the cotton ball. Then they'll sell the cotton ball inside as contraband to somebody who wants the Suboxone. So you got to sit there and watch each inmate for 15 minutes to make sure they don't do it. Now, that's going to be very timely. And I didn't do the math right here in front of us, but do the math and do the time and do the staffing. That's a lot of man hours, a lot of money, and again, we want to make sure we do it right. Now, methadone is a drink, and yeah, it can be just liquefied, and I won't, because we're on the air, I won't go into specific stories. I can honestly say we really haven't had any methadone smuggling here, but we have spoken to other agencies across the country and in Canada. And let me just say they can get a very inventive ways to smuggle methadone into a jail, even on something like this. So these are all the questions we're trying to look at and get answered before we actually do this, because I'm responsible for all 1,500 and so inmates, and I fully respect those that need this medication. I want to do the right thing. I want to help them. But I got to balance the safety of everybody here, including staff, over the needs of these folks. And then I just want to make sure that we're doing the right thing. So going back to the pilot program, the beauty about that was when our lawmakers in Beacon Hill and the governor put it together, they put in the bill that we would, the Department of Public Health and the Office of Health and Human Services will assist us in doing this. And we've already met with them. They're a huge asset, and they can help answer some of these medical questions. I can answer the correctional questions, and our healthcare provider can answer some of the medical questions. But, the Department of Public Health and the commissioner and then the Secretary of Health and Human Services have different skills and knowledge, and we're going to bring them to the table, too, so we can get all these questions answered.
Yeah. I'm thinking, Sheriff, that, you mentioned the time, the staffing, and, the money. I mean, the money is just going to – it's to staff this and do it right, and it's going to be tough to do it right. It's going to be significant.
It is. I mean, ballpark numbers, you're probably talking several million dollars just for us. And this has to be, this is going to be all 14 sheriffs. Well, there's no correctional facility on Nantucket, so there's actually 14 sheriffs. There's 13 correctional facilities. Plus the State Department of Corrections, there's a lot of money going to be spent on this. And keep in mind, we both have talked about it a little bit, but you hit the nail on the head a few minutes ago. The jails and the prisons today in our country are now our substance abuse treatment centers and our mental health institutions. Those that are a little older like me can remember the old Danvers State Hospitals and a few of those others. When they close them, those folks are out on the street, and a lot of times they end up here. That's why the big focus on mental illness and trying to get ahead of it has been so important. And now these issues here coming out with, now we're gonna provide the Suboxone and the methadone to folks. That's the other piece I really want to mention about the pilot program. This is new, this is old, but it's new. I figure methadone has been around since, I believe, the 1950s. Heroin has been around for that long. They've been putting people in jail since the colonial days. Now, fentanyl obviously has been fairly recent, but these things have been around for a while. But now that, the technology or the medical expertise has finally brought them together. But we just want to make sure, again, we're doing it right, but no one knows what the end of the day is going to be. So the pilot program is going to track the data very, very carefully. So we'll track who gets what while they're here, and we're going to track them when they leave. So hopefully they don't go out and go back to their old, cohorts, or they go back to their old dealer and stop buying more drugs or injecting it or whatever they're going to do. And we're going to try and track it out as much as possible. And we've already started that process. It's part of our reentry program I talked about earlier. We've got an officer now who's working, trying to follow the inmates 6 months out just to see if they're hooking them up with services in their communities, trying to stay in touch with them. We also have the recovery coaches I think we talked about before. Right. So we're trying to give them the resources even after they're outside our jurisdiction, just as a toolbox for the inmates when they leave, so they don't get on that wrong path.
I have one final question. So let me ask you about, so it all comes, I mean, a lot of it is mental health, it's addiction, it's recovery. You just mentioned that. So what's the data on recovery, as we know it right now with this population?
That's a very broad question. We have that detox program, just to refresh your memory, the 28-day program, 42 beds for men and women, been very, very popular. And we look at the recidivism rate. Now, for us, when folks go through the detox, as well as we do have inmates go through regular population, a different type of drug treatment program, but if they go out and they go on a Vivitrol shot, our recidivism rate's in the mid-30s, which is excellent. Now, Vivitrol, for some of the listeners may not know it, is different than methadone or Suboxone. It's a shot. It's non-narcotic, and it's a shot that you get every 30 days. It blocks the receptors in the brain so you don't get the cravings. But you have to be clean. You have to be detoxed. And so that's what we do here. We detox folks, and then when they're clean, we give them the Vivitrol shot before they leave, and then they get it once a month. We give them the resources, and we tell them where to get the next shot. And we get them back on MassHealth so it pays for it. So that helps a lot. But there really aren't many statistics on, methadone and Suboxone through jails and all that. I know on the outside, there are some statistics. I think that's why the big push is to do it with the inmate population. But the whole thing is there are statistics that show when inmates leave here, they're more susceptible to overdose than a regular, member of the society. So that's the cue. That's the important part about the pilot program. We're going to track that data and see just what's working and what's not. And if something's not working, we'll modify it to make sure it does.
Definitely a big job. Oh, my gosh. So anything else, Sheriff, to share with us here from the Sheriff's Office here in Essex County?
No, it's just we're keeping moving forward. We're trying to do everything again. Again, our overall goal is what you heard. We talked about the grants and some recidivism on our reentry. We're just trying to do as much as we can. I know there's a lot of push, and even with this criminal justice bill, is to reduce the populations in our jails. It's not as easy as said than done. Our pretrial population has really ballooned over the last year or so. And we're working with the courts and the district attorney's office to see how we can address that. But that's beyond our control. But, every time we get an inmate here, we just want to make sure that we're providing them the best services, whether they need the medication, mental health services, vocational, educational pieces, whatever it is we can do. We're into the business now of being very versatile in the corrections. As we said before, Bill, no longer just lock them up, throw away the key. It's to provide them services and then reach out to the community, because we got to do a handoff. It's just like, you know, Tom Brady with Sony Michel. Give them the handoff and hopefully they score a touchdown and they don't come back.
Well, hopefully that's a very positive reference that you're making for us, Sheriff. Sheriff Kevin Coppinger, Essex County. Sheriff, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Thank you, Bill, very much. Appreciate it.
And I'm Bill Newell here on MSONewsSports.com.